Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. TNT Hoops episode 27. I'm Ansel Jackson. I'm here with Quiddy Slang. What's good?
What's good, baby? Chilling, man. You know the vibes.
Same old, same old. Shooting a little later this week on a Monday. My man Quiddy was out in New York over the weekend, so we had to push it back a little bit, but we are back. How was your trip?
It was cool. It was cool. Happy birthday again to my homie.
Okay.
My boy Cali had a surprise party for him. It was pretty cool. Cool weekend.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, man. Yeah, we got my man Southside in the building, bringing out a little film from his two coaching gigs over the weekend. Coaching out at Rosemont.
Rosemont College or Rosemont University? Okay, shout out to them.
0-2, rough start, but
definitely taking L's when they play the Celtics this year, but that's no here or there. You know what I mean? It's a different story. But we back, man. What's good? We got some you know, we got some topics for y'all today. You know, obviously we Hoops podcast, we're gonna talk our NBA. Got some Sixers, obviously mixed in with their teams that surprise us. You know, teams that are looking a little different than what we expected.
Yeah.
We'll always talk that, and then we'll talk some NFL too, just because, you know, it's that time of year. So pretty much all we got.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah,
I wish we got some new segments.
Yeah, we got a new segment as well, just TNT Takes, that we just will be kind of giving some trends and things that Quiddy and I've seen over the week. Some interesting thing that we may talked about in a group chat or seen on Twitter that we've just started to notice. We'll just get into that a little later. But let's just, I guess, start with the Deion Waiters thing.
Yeah. I mean, so what did you hear about it? Like, what did you hear the story was?
So
I read so many things.
I think it was like Saturday, Sunday morning, whatever thing. And I woke up and I read the, it was like Deion Waiters got off the team plate and had a seizure. He had like a gummy. And like obviously
they said gummies and everyone
was
like,
oh. I knew. Like the gummies, like the CBD or maybe like high THC Jones. But it was weird for me because he's not playing. And I was like, all right, well, what is he? Like taking these strong ass, you know what I mean, strong ass gummies for a plane, but
definitely edibles, right?
Yeah.
And they saying it was a teammate now, and he don't want to snitch on like whoever it was. And
yeah, not to speculate though, but who, what teammate would you think have given him the gummy? If there's guys like Jimmy Butler, probably not Winslow.
I said James Johnson. That's what I said. He just seemed like that dude. Like he chill. They probably don't. Like, I feel like Waiters this year is not connected with them at all. Like they've been having problems with him off the court all year since he's been there, you know, for a second stint, because he thinks he's a starter or whatever. And obviously they got Kendrick Nunn coming out of nowhere, Tyler Herro, and then Jimmy Butler, obviously. So even when he's healthy, he knows he's not, you know, guaranteed to start a spot. That's not how the Heat organization is.
Yeah.
I think it's funny though, but yeah, he just was on a plane. Really, there was a panic attack, they said.
I think so. An undercover guy that could have given it to him is what's the name? Not Plumlee. Is it Plumlee? Yeah.
No, they got Leonard Myers.
Yeah, Myers Leonard. Yeah, he seems like the guy that may have the gummies on him. Just probably tossed him one before they got on the plane. But for the financial implications, it's kind of, we saw it was like $2 million in total, $800,000, which is like the fine.
Yeah.
And then he's missing 10 games, so he's out of that incentive for
70 plus
games for Miami. So that's $1.2 million, which
he
is
doesn't want to play there anyway,
crazy though, for taking a gummy. Yeah, I mean,
right. They're going to trade him eventually. He doesn't want to play there. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's crazy for that though. Everybody's being on him.
It happens though, man. Like
I mean, he not play like whatever, but I would play. Nah, that's crazy.
Shout out to Deion Waiters. Praying for you.
Hopefully,
all is well.
Man, we got some NFL talk, though. What's good? You know, MVP, NFL MVP right now, who you got? obviously you just seen Russell Wilson lead the Seahawks to a dub.
Before we recorded this, John, I had Lamar down, but then I had the chance to watch Russell, I guess, go up against the 49ers and pull out the win in overtime. It's just like everything is so volatile. Like right now, you have to put Russ there because he just beat the only undefeated team aside from the Patriots left in football, or not even the Patriots anymore. So, yeah, right now it's got to be Russ. Lamar, as you've seen yesterday, just 49ers.
So dynamic.
Yeah, so dynamic.
That spin move, bro, is probably the is the one of those plays where you're going to see that. We're just going to be seeing that forever. That's going to be one of Lamar Jackson, like, stable plays. Like, he just was – it's kind of like that spin that Braxton Miller had at Ohio State. Just going left to right. But right down the middle of the field, spun, got this girl, too, and just
– yeah.
It's broke. And then, obviously, like, the five-yard line, he almost got caught. He just, like, extended the ball. Like, yeah, he
and
just
with all that combined, like, he's doing it all. Like, he's not throwing the ball, like, 40 times a game. But he yesterday he was, like, what, seven – like, 17 for 18.
15 for 17. And he threw from like 250, maybe 260.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he's doing everything they ask.
Perfect pass,
yeah. Like it's just,
and he gets
simple. Like you don't have to play that conventional. Like you have to gun the ball to field. Like there's some games, I guess, where you have to throw the ball 30 plus times. But
right, and you can see, like, he only has 2,000 passing yards as compared to everybody who's around. Like the elite guys are probably around like 2,500, 2,600.
Yeah.
He got 2,000. But I mean, he's passing the ball. Yeah, 15 touchdowns, 5 picks.
700 on the ground. Like,
700 on the ground. So, I mean, he's just a he's dual threat. I mean, 66 completion percentage.
Yeah.
So, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? Even if he is digging and ducking, like, I mean, he's still completing his pass. He's still moving.
So, are you taking them or the Chiefs? So, that's kind of like that second team.
I mean, right now, I got to say, the Ravens, they're clicking at, on all cylinders. Like, the Chiefs did have all the steam to start the year, and I guess they will gain some momentum coming back here now with Mahomes being back.
Yeah,
but that defense is
plus, like,
hey, and they lost. That defense is shaky, like,
yeah. And Baltimore will have home field advantage, and
for sure.
Yeah, I guess it's, yeah, when it comes down to a game like that, it's just a possession battle.
For sure.
So who'd you have
as MVP right now? Russell Wilson.
Okay.
I was saying that earlier after that performance yesterday, Lamar Jackson performance yesterday, I had Lamar Jackson as, you know what I'm saying, MVP. But then I saw Russ's numbers, and I'm like, he had 22 touchdowns and one pick.
Like 23 after the night.
Right, 22. He got 2,500 passing, 200 rushing, 3 touchdowns, 68 completion percentage. His QB rating is 118. So, I mean, you know how he gets out the pocket. He making plays, extending plays. Like, he's just different.
Yeah, and how he performed the night against that line of, like, with the Buckners and Boses, like, that's just another testament to his game.
How,
like,
great he is, right? Escape artist.
Yeah.
And then you got to give some credit to Christian McCaffrey, too. He's killing. I mean, he's in the race. I just feel like they don't necessarily lean on running backs unless it's, like, I mean, his numbers are crazy.
Yeah, he's going to be the running back that, like, propels his team to play. So, there it was what? LT? Not LT.
The last
running back to get his team to the playoffs,
I think,
was, might have been the LT year, but.
Yeah, that's when I don't know what LT's numbers were specifically, but I know Adrian Pearce last. Oh, you're talking about AP?
Yeah, it was Adrian Pearce. Yeah,
he's Christian one Ponder. I did too. I mean, they don't have Cam Newton at Kyle Island. I mean, he's cool, but CMC is leading them. You know what I'm saying? He got, what, 989 right now? So he almost got a stack in, what, is it 9 games in?
Yeah.
10 games in?
But definitely leading the league in touches too, which is, I don't know how I feel about it because if you.
400 receiving too. Just,
yeah.
That's, like, 48 grabs. Like, he's so productive, bro.
Would you, so if you're a GM or if, like, you're the owner of a team and you don't think you guys can win a Super Bowl this year, would you be just, because knowing your running backs are, what, you get, like, 4 or 5 good years out of them that's downhill, would you tell your coach to lay off and chill a little bit? Because this is, it's getting to the point where it's maybe over usage.
Yeah.
Like, he's leading the league in touches by a mile.
Right. And that's, it's kind of, it comes, ties back into, like, the NBA load management thing, too, because it's like, if we have him, we have to use, you know what I'm saying, use him to the best of his ability. Like, that's what, he can be that productive, so we're going to use him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're kind of not looking at the player like a, like, you're kind of looking at, you know what I mean, like an asset or whatever, but.
Yeah, but just even as your player and, like, as a human being too,
right?
Like, yeah, he's in the game, but the next running back on their roster has 11 carries.
For sure. I mean, running back lives, running backs, span in the NFL is short anyway. You know what I'm saying? You only got 7, 8. If you're elite, you got like probably like 6, 7
yeah.
really good years.
But do you want to use one of those years on a year without Cam? This. But I guess it's
whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, it puts people in the seats.
Okay. It is what it is. But yeah, that's the MVP race. Obviously, we got both got Russell Wilson.
Give me your best teams in the NFC, AFC. Who are your top two dogs right now?
NFC, I'd say. In the NFC, I'd say probably the two teams you just saw. 49ers and the... Who is that?
Seahawks.
49ers and Seahawks. Yeah. Probably 49ers and Seahawks for sure. I don't know. I probably would have New Orleans over the Seahawks, but that was a bad loss to the Falcons. Like... You know what I'm saying? And when those, when the teams were separated by, you know, that.
That's a focus loss, though. Like, they had a bunch of momentum, like, after the Teddy win, and then Drew comes back, turns it up.
At home, like, Atlanta's playing, spoiler already, they're, what, 1-7 before yesterday?
Yeah.
So, I want to have them up there, but I'll say the Seahawks and the 49ers are the two best teams.
Okay.
Cowboys, obviously, in the mix. Eagles kind of flirting. Those two teams out of the NFC East, we'll see.
I think the 49ers are this year's fool's gold team. Their defense is really good, obviously. As we saw tonight, like, forced a couple of turnovers from the Seahawks. Picked by Russell, like, the second one of the year.
Right.
But Garoppolo is a little shaky. Not, like, a little shakier than we had all been led to believe, like, kind of coming out of New England. Like, he's almost in that Jared Goff range for me. Like, tonight, like, that last drive, 3 straight incompletions, 2 should have almost been picked off. Like, I don't think he's...
Let me ask you a question. So, if we get... So, if the Eagles get the 6th seed, and they happen to be the 1 seed, and we win our first round, we have to go and play, then, out there, are you confident?
Yeah, I mean, with the week...
Seeing how... If we... You know what I'm saying? If it plays out that way.
Yeah, if we even get to the playoffs, that means we started to turn things around drastically, which is good.
Yeah.
Better quarterback, always take that. They have the better coach in Shanahan and the better defense, but like I think you have a chance anytime you have a guy like Wentz. Like,
sure.
So I mean, we'll get into the Bears
like
in a little bit, but like I don't think we're nowhere near
a top two
team in the NFC. Like we're
okay.
Just barely scratching to make the playoffs. And even if we don't, I think we can win a Super Bowl. But
okay, so what are your top two in NFC?
Top team is Seattle. Off of, like, they just had a tough schedule. Like, had to play Baltimore. Like, they played, obviously, the 49ers. They just, like, they show week in and week out. Like, they can defend well enough to keep themselves in the game. And then Russell Wilson is just the best quarterback in the league. So, it's just, you got to give them and them. AFC is the Patriots until
Russell Wilson, the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
I think I'm comfortable saying that right now, too.
Yeah. I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes, but, like, at the end of the day, it's
consistency.
Yeah, consistency and doing it when your team isn't as good. Like, think about it. If Russ had Tyreek, and I hate to always flip guys in and out, but
they have weapons. It's no secret. They have weapons.
Weapons all around the board, even with Shady as their second-string running back. So, AFC. I got the Pats, until someone says otherwise. Ravens is the 2, and then...
Pats, Ravens. Yeah. I'd probably say the same.
Okay.
I have the Chiefs obviously flowing around right there. I think the Chiefs can beat the Patriots if Pat Mahomes, you know, has one of those special games, but there's so many more factors that have to factor in. It's making me a little bit more scared now because of how much better the Patriots defense has been. But... You know, seeing the Patriots, their schedule's about to toughen up a little bit going down the stretch, so we'll be able to see more, you know, what their defense really is because they haven't really played anybody.
Yeah.
You can see their schedule, they haven't really played anybody. So that could be the reason why their defense, you know, is as good as...
Yeah, but as we said before, like, that's kind of exactly what you want as a professional football team because it's not like in college football you lose one game, you're out of contention for the bowl game. Like, they're making the playoffs regardless. So that one loss to Baltimore is... Like, kind of a good dip for them because it's like, all right, brings everything down to earth. Like, probably a really tough week of practice with the bye.
Right.
Come in against, like, and you have all the motivation in the world to play a Philly team.
Come in and get smoked.
Yeah, we'll get that now. Let's, so you think,
what
are your thoughts on the game?
I was just thinking about it. I don't know. I just got a good feeling. Like, I don't even know if I'm saying it's going to be a W because I remember when we first... we went back and forth and we said our predictions.
Yeah.
Both we both had him as an L.
Yeah.
And I went back home and I don't know why, I just thought we would beat the Patriots. Like, I was thinking, I don't know, I just thought Super Bowl.
Had a dream like Martin.
So you think there's no chance at all?
No.
Like, at all?
At all.
Okay. At home.
I mean, there's obviously a chance. It's football and sports, but it's...
But, like, that's what it won't be a game.
It goes... It just kind of goes tails with what I was saying with the Pats. Like, this is their tune-up, like, to really see what they are. Like, that loss to the Ravens, like, all right, like, we finally played a good team. We got our... Like, Bill's going to make it out to seem like they got their asses handed to it, and their defense is way better than ours. I would say that home environment's a lot tougher than ours. Their offense is more prolific than ours.
Okay, so is it, though? Like, their defense?
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers will say, but...
They got like way more playmakers. Playmakers. Yeah. Marcus Peters, he has 2 pick-sixes for him in the past, like, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Thomas, he's still on that team. It's not Mosley. Mosley's on the Jets now.
What are you talking about?
The Ravens defense.
I thought you were talking about the Patriots.
Oh, but I'm saying they were able to hang with the Ravens' offense, which is a lot more prolific than ours. Like, their offense, the Ravens' offense spreads people out and makes you do a plethora of different things, and it was still a close game. With our offense, it's kind of simple. You know what's kind of coming down the pipeline, and their secondary is crazy.
Fried them, I ain't gonna hold.
They did, but the Pats were able to keep it because it could have been 21-0 without that fumble.
All right, what I'm saying is, as far as the Patriots' defense, they haven't played. Much competition. If you look at the record, obviously the teams they've played, I mean, if you look back, it's horrible. Like, their winning percentage is horrible. You know, they've played, that's just how their schedule has, you know, shaped up this year.
Dolphins, Jets, yeah.
Right. Yeah, obviously they're, Giants. They're a weak division, and then they had some NFC East teams too. But, we're going to see. We have a quarterback like Carson Wentz, and they're going to face better quarterbacks going down, you know, their schedule. We're going to see what that defense is really about. And then their offense, I mean, Brady, he hasn't been
anything good.
Crazy this year, so like, hell, let's see. I'm pretty sure it's gonna be freezing cold out there.
I'm not arguing with you. It's more of an indication on us, though. Like, you don't think we've looked like that? Bears game is
bye week.
Come on, man. We gotta stop putting so much stock. We're like, what has changed from the bye week till now? Like, we got Jordan Matthews in.
I don't know, but that's the magic of the bye week. Sometimes teams come back. You could be clicking and going around, but you never know. Like, that's what I'm saying. You never know. I don't know. I feel good about this.
I hope so. But I think we go in and it's how we would lose, I guess, as well. Right. Like, I hate to be that pessimistic fan, but if we lose in a way to where it's like, all right, we kept it close all game. The defense wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, we're in striking distance.
Playing from behind, trying to catch up.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be cool to maybe play up and then maybe Brady has to make a crazy drive. Like, you know what I mean?
Imagine if we get some early turnovers,
mm-hmm.
like stuff like that, like when we played the Cowboys. Like, I guess it does represent, you know, what our team looked like compared to them. Like, they looked better than us that game, the Cowboys did. But, like, say we get some early turnovers like the Cowboys got on us and how that just changed the whole game. Like, at home, you never know.
Yeah, so that, all right, so, okay.
You know what I mean? It's just little factors.
If that were to happen, then, yeah, obviously I trust our ability to maybe hold for a lead. But, like, if it's just, like, an even, straightforward played game, like, 9 out of 10 times, I was just saying the Pats be here because they're better off a bye week.
I mean, we beat them. Peterson beat them in the Super Bowl. He got their number.
History tells us
we got their number.
Are you falling into, like, the Super Bowl, like...
What?
Like, kind of, like, back in that love, bro?
Huh?
Like, the Pats look better than they did that year.
This is completely different team.
We look worse than we... Like, you know what I mean? So that's...
completely different team.
Yeah, like, I can't buy into all of that magic because I've seen how bad... Like, the Bears aren't good.
However,
the Bills aren't good.
That's true. However, we got healthy. Our core that we've had is still here. This team, every time, it seems like it's just like we about to smack our backs against the wall. We come up and we start winning games. We start playing well. Like, I'm not saying we win this week, but I have a good feeling about that. I feel like it's going to be. I don't think we'll be let down. I don't think we're going to come out this game thinking like, damn, we suck. You know what I mean? Like,
that's all I'm asking. Like, I want it to be a competitive game to where you have something to look forward to Seattle. Because the Seattle game is the most important. Because we need one of these two. We can't lose both.
Right.
Lose both, the season's damn near over.
It's going to be tough after that. But, so, I mean, that's the Birds. The Birds talk we got for a week. We signed Jordan Matthews. Yes, sir. Yeah, bring him back for the third time. I can't be mad about it. I mean, he's better than what we have. It's just that simple.
It's just how he's just so bad at evaluating, like, wide receiver. Like, the fact that you couldn't just put the piece together, like, all right, this is Wentz's guy. You trust him. If anything, he's going to be our, like, fourth receiver on the roster, but just at all times. Right. Like, it's, you know. It's,
and not even so much about, I mean, I think the Jay Matthews thing was more so DeSean Jackson picking guys you want to get. You say, oh, I want to go out sense. And draft somebody. You draft J.J. Arcega-Whiteside thinking.
He doesn't have to come at expense of that. Like, it's just
you know,
simple.
I'm just saying, you go get DeSean Jackson and you expect, you know, that to make Nelson Agholor take that step. So maybe you don't have to pay a guy like Jordan Matthews.
I'm off of Nelson.
I'm off Nelson. I'm off Matt Collins. And I'm off, I don't know, we don't know about J.J. He hasn't played yet.
I mean,
our receiver coach today actually said that he's ready. He's practiced all the positions. He's ready to make a play if the ball comes his way.
That's just disheartening.
Yeah,
man.
He said, Matt Collins has been one of the highest graded players on the team every game, and he's always in the right spots, and he runs his routes, and he's always lined up perfectly. And I was like, yeah, like, we're definitely going to have a new wide receivers coach next year. Like, this is crazy. We better have
him. It's wide receivers coach. It's the, like, the coordinators, I think, too. It's just, like, it's just weird. And, like, it's just a weird staff around Wentz because we're definitely not tapping into his full potential. Like, he's winning games, and he's, like, kind of not making shit up as he goes, but he doesn't seem comfortable. Like, I haven't seen him in a real groove except for a little bit in that Packers game, I guess, to close out the Bears game, but not, like, when was the last time you saw Wentz in a real rhythm, like, towards, like...
Yeah, man. I mean, it hasn't really been since that 2017 run.
This isn't a biased fan thing. He hasn't been clicking. Like, it's...
I mean, there's obviously been glimpses and stretches in games. He shows you, all right, this dude is special. Like, he'll make every game he makes 4 or 5 plays where it's like,
he keeps
only
alive,
he can do that. You know what I'm saying? He'll spin out of a spin out of a sack. Like, he
should
6'5".
Be sacked
5
times a game. Yeah, he should.
So he just... You know what I'm saying? He'll make a play like that, but we need more around him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, shout out to Jordan Matthews, man. We drag him out there. Let's get into this, the league, man. National Basketball Association.
Okay.
Best league in the world.
Yeah, best league in the world. We're 10 games in, just about, I think, for all the teams. So we're just kind of going to run through some of our thoughts. We've broken it out in a different, I guess, categories.
Before we hit the NBA, you're going to hit off... And tell them new topic, our new segment before we get into NBA.
Yeah, we just kind of want to do like a little TNT takes or some things just to kind of fill you guys in with some things that we've seen throughout the league. It was kind of inspired to me by like one of the group chats. One of my friends, Joe, is real big on the Clippers right now in the second quarter. And like his reasoning behind it was just because obviously they have the best bench in the league. And after that, Pat Bev comes out and Lou and Montrez close out the first quarter and play a bulk of the second. They bring Kawhi in that lineup. It just, they smoke teams. And it's
right.
Basically,
it's a trend, man.
It's what, it's 7-2 right now, but with the spread and like 9-1 outright. So that's just one of those things to kind of keep an eye out for in the league. Another one is Brooklyn. One of the worst defenses in the league, like 111 defensive rating, 121 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally, it's what, 0-3 or 3-9 against the spread right now, or 3-6 against the spread yet.
Yeah.
So it's just,
I got you.
You catch their overs and you kind of just really look at them right now. They're early in the season. They're not going to figure it out. Like, they just lost to the Suns the other night. So it's one of those teams you kind of want to maybe stay away from.
A team I was seeing is the, obviously, you know, I watch the Magic now because my boy Markel plays for them, but just a really good defensive team with like, Jonathan Isaac, like, he's blocking like 3 shots a game. He's obviously a long wing defender, but he can play, you know, down low. They got Mo Bamba, they got Aaron Gordon. They're just athletic guys, and they're a great defensive team, and they don't score well. I think they have like a 30th rank.
One of the worst offenses.
Literally,
the
worst ranked offense in the league. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy, because the way the team runs, it's like Markel's just kind of coming down and getting them into a set, and then kind of like running into the corner. So they'd be like Evan Fournier coming off a pin down, come up, catch, try to isolate, try to score, and Aaron Gordon try to screen for him or something like that, or they'll get the ball to Vucevic anywhere foul line extended and have him try to score. And it's just so, it's such a basic offense. It's not, there's no fluidity. It's just
no easy buckets that are coming. Like,
and it's because they're trying to grow Markelle Fultz. It's the crazy thing. I love Fultz, but I can see like how he's hindering it. But they also could get him the ball more to make him develop a little faster. Cause I watch it and I'm like, all right, give him the ball in transition. Like, that's where he's good. Like, they'll, you know what I'm saying? They'll miss him. Like, just give him the ball in transition. He's going to make a play for himself or somebody else. You know what I mean?
So you kind of just have to trust him with the ball in his hands almost a bulk of the game, because that's like he's still going to go to the next level.
What I was trying to get to with the trend is they're a great defensive team and they don't score well. So all their games, take the unders. Like, you know what I'm saying? Straight up, just take the unders, because in quarters, they'll go 3-4 minutes and not score. You know what I mean? And then, but they'll be holding other team to probably 4 or 5 points in those, you know, 4 minutes, because they can really guard too. So always take the unders for that. That was something I noticed. Okay. You got anything else?
No, that was just
That's pretty much.
Yeah. And this is kind of one of those segments, like I said, like it was brought up by a friend of mine. Like, so as we communicate with people on Twitter and our group chats and stuff like that, like, we'll bring up some of the things that you guys have noticed maybe. On the pod as well.
Orlando Magic, though. Watch my boy Markelle. You know the vibes.
Yeah. So the next thing we got, I guess we're going right into...
Right into the league.
Yeah, right into the league.
Getting right into the league.
Let's start with Denver. Denver's been real interesting with Jokic hitting 2 straight game winners, back-to-back, one on us, obviously.
The fat and sloppy, lazy-looking Jokic that somehow is in great shape. You can tell he's in good shape because he turns it on when he needs to.
And he plays major minutes.
Which is
crazy.
Like
36 to 38 minutes a night, which is a lot.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. That's a crazy team. I think they're so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at their team, you have Will Barton. You know, you got Jamal Murray. You got just guys that can create from the perimeter, shoot the ball, pass the ball, cut. They just all play so well and play well off each other. You know, they got Millsap.
Millsap, again, is like, he always starts the season off real hot.
Yeah, I mean, just an experienced vet at the four. You know, you got the young kid, MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., coming off the bench, trying to get his flow going.
They haven't really given him Beasley.
He hasn't played much, but he's starting to play now.
Torian Craig.
Did they get Grant?
Jeremy Grant.
You know what I'm saying? They're a deep team, so.
1-12, I think they're probably the deepest team in the league.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, those 2 game winners were crazy.
Yeah.
The one against Sixers, obviously, were pissed. Ball, broken play, ball came out to him, like, grabbed it off the ground, just shot it and fell. And then the one against Cat was, he gave him a little shimmy, fall back off the left, one-legged for the win, high arcing. So that was tough.
I mean, and for him, it's cool to see him kind of want to take those shots. Like, the Nuggets were going to him both times, and just like, all right, go ahead and get a bucket.
Which is weird to me, because I probably would give the ball to Jamal Murray, but that's just me in those situations. But they're a team. Denver's a team that, like I said, is deep. So they're a swing the ball, whoever has it, go ahead and get it. You know what I mean? Or whoever has it going, go ahead and get it. But me personally, like, I think Jamal Murray is actually...
He is, like, but I guess they trust Jokic more than quick. Because to go up against a big man, like, you just get him off his feet, like, you know what I mean, with all his fakes and hezzies, and just get the ball up and over him.
I like Murray just because I think he's like a big game point guard. Like, he's one of those dudes that he'll make the clutch play. You know what I mean? He wants to make the play. You know what I mean? So I think he's a guy that fits next to him well. And there'll be a team that's very interesting to see. You know, right now I'm looking at those two LA teams. They look like the top dogs out there, but...
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, teams like Denver and Houston.
So give me some other surprising teams that you have, I guess, throughout the league.
So obviously we talked about the Suns. They're the biggest surprise of the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you thought the Suns would be good, you didn't think they'll be this good.
Yeah, 6-3. Just beat the Brooklyn Nets.
Killed them. Beat them by like 20. They score the ball. They defend. They're like a top 5 defensive team right now. Obviously, they scored the ball. They got Booker. He's not averaging as much as he usually. Like, he was averaging last year. I think he was averaging like 27 last year. Like this year, he's at 25, but he's shooting like above 50, 90 from the field. So he's super efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like, playing the best basketball of his career, taking perfect shots, obviously, for himself. And shooting those percentages as a perimeter player is actually crazy. They're playing really well. They have a pro team this year. I'd say they got Rubio at the one, you got Kelly Oubre. Dario Saric, shout out at the process. Sixer.
Bridges.
Bridges is some hot garbage for him. He
I know he gives him good minutes.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it defensively, but offensively, he's kind of developed slow.
Yeah,
but slower than I anticipated. But Aaron Baines off the bench, Tyler Johnson off the bench. They got some guys, man. They got a real team this year. Do they have Frank Kaminsky?
Yeah, Frank had a terrible game against us. He was bunking up. But yeah, I think the Suns, I think the first time I saw him was the game against us when Booker gave us 40.
They beat the Clippers too.
Yeah, they did beat the Clippers after that Lakers game. Yeah, it's tough to see now because it's like Booker, when he came to Philly last year, he gave us like 40 plus, 45 then.
Yeah.
Like he's always been cooking us, but now that he has like somebody else to kind of stabilize and he can play a little off ball, he's not the only one pushing that shit down every single possession. He's dangerous.
Like. Exactly, and it kind of can calm him down and allow him to pick his spots
a little see the right, game a little bit.
What kind of surprised me now that I'm thinking about it, when I say the surprising about the Suns is I feel like people kind of underestimated the Ricky Rubio acquisition. It was kind of like, oh, it's Rubio.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, he's a solid point guard, but you're not doing nothing with that. But it's like, okay, well, Rubio, I mean, he's not a great shooter, but he can shoot the ball well enough that you have to go out there and guard him. And obviously, he's one of the best passers we have in the league. And that's his, you know what I'm saying? That's Rubio's game, the craftiness, the finish around the rim, the floaters, and then transition, just stabilizing the team.
Do you blame that a little bit, though, on, like, maybe Donovan Mitchell having to come into the fold because he handled the ball a lot for them the last
year? I think this is good to see. I like how you brought up Donovan Mitchell because I think that's a comparison I was talking about in the summertime. Some people say it's not even a comparison, Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker.
No, not a comparison, but...
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, it's great to see because now look how well he looks playing next to a guy like Devin Booker.
Yeah.
He's having a great year.
And Donovan's kind of been the same.
He's been scoring more. I'll give him that. He's up around 25, 26 range. I'll give him that, but I think Rubio, the way Booker looks next to him and the way that team is, you know, going.
And Booker's obviously a lot better than Mitchell. Like, I'm not going to...
Yeah, people argue consideration. That.
I mean, I don't even think it's close, but... Yeah, the Suns definitely. The Cavs, I saw you put on there on the outline.
Yeah, just because I thought... I don't even think there's so much a surprising team. I just think they have... they're an interesting team. They have a lot of young guys. They got a coach that was coaching in college for the last... You know, however long. Like I said, the young guys, Darius Garland, Colin Sexton. You know what I'm saying? Just these little guards getting out there. Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance, all these guys getting out there. And just, it looks like that Lakers team from, because they have that, they have the Clarkson, and they got Larry Nance. It's like that Lakers team when, yeah, D'Lo and all that, when they made that trade over there. But they're a little interested team. They're 4-5 right now. I thought they'd be a little worse than what they are right now, but saw them play the other night, and I thought they were interesting.
Yeah, there'll be a team that is, like, I guess, formidable in the East, like, kind of hang around, like, 9-10 range, and then the deadline, like, people are talking about Love being, like, somebody that teams are going to be reaching out for, like, a team like Portland, because, you know, like, obviously, if healthy, he can add a lot of depth to that forward spot. Same thing with Tristan Thompson.
I feel like he's in trade talks every single year, though.
Yeah, but he's just never healthy. Like now
he's healthy, though.
Yeah, now he's healthy, and it's, what, 16 and 13?
Okay.
And
he's still super solid.
Yeah, he's getting back to that Kevin Love of old, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, any team would love a Kevin Love, no pun intended, but you know what I'm saying? Any team would love him, but... I mean, it depends on if he gets traded or not. I don't see that happening.
If you're Cleveland,
I think they're looking at him as that vet, like, you know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like the Al Horford thing, though, yeah. Right? So wouldn't you want to kind of escape?
He got his championship, though. And I think he's chilling. He got a nice contract. I mean, Cleveland is Cleveland, but I think he even said it, like, you know, I'm comfortable here. Like, I want a ring. He'll be that guy that all the young guys look up to, and I think he might just be comfortable there. And I don't think, like, they want to trade him. So, I mean, you said Portland. I saw Draymond going to Portland. I don't know. I saw a little thing. I didn't click on it, but what do you think about that fit?
No, I listened to the him and the general manager for the Warriors, Bob Myers, were on that Woj pod, and the way that they were talking, like, I don't think Draymond's ever going to leave the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, just how bought in he is to just, like, all, like, just Bob and everyone in the organization, and, like, it just really seemed like he was so happy to get that kind. He's like, I didn't care about the max. Like, I knew my time was going to come, and when it came, like, I knew I was a max player forever. I just wanted to make sure this was a stable situation. So he just seems like one of those people almost retired in Golden State and, you know, figured out with Steph.
Any team surprising you or interesting teams you want to talk about?
Yeah, so the ones that you had, the Suns were the ones I wanted to bring up. The Blazers, I think they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
4-6 is...
Tough start, though.
Yeah.
It's very tough start. But it's the West.
Yeah, it's the West. And when you have guys like CJ and Dame, like at the start of the year when we did the preview, I said Dame would kind of have to assume more of the Harden role and be... I know he's the primary scorer in ball handler, but could take damn near 30-plus shots a night. And he's starting to do that now. Like, you saw he had 52 the other night.
They got like, a different team now, too, with their wings and who's playing. I mean, they got Whiteside plays now for them. Anthony Simons plays for now. Last year, that was, like,
Simons who was that? Like five that was
Aminu. They don't have Aminu anymore. They don't have Evan Turner. They don't have that team they had in the playoffs. Yeah. So it's going to be a little adjustment period for them. As far as figuring it all out.
But they put a lot of shooters around Dame, and they're just letting him kind of, I guess, figure out how to get to 30-plus a night, and then CJ's figuring out, like, I guess, how to slide in. Like, he started the season off really poorly, and I remember they talked to they talked to the coach about it, and he said, a guy, CJ, you don't even have to tell him anything. Like, he's one of those guys that he'll naturally figure it out, and he'll figure out, like, a way to get back to, like, that 22 points per game range.
He's at 19.8 right now.
Yeah.
On 39% from the field. So he's struggling, according to his standards.
Right.
But yeah, I think the Blazers will figure it out. Like I said, like we said, they have a whole new team that to kind of figure it out. But they're horrible. Horrible defensively. Yeah. Horrible. I think they're like, you know what I'm saying, 25, 26th in the league last I checked.
Another team, the Rockets, and surprising. We talked a little before the pod, not due to the win-loss record.
Yeah.
But just like their offense is really like up and down, and I had some things that I pulled together earlier, just kind of talking about with Russ. So he's with the team as like he's the only person that takes, I guess, mid-range jump shots on the team. And that was the problem that they got rid of Melo. Like everyone else combined, he's taking more two-point jump shots and worse effective field conversions. It's kind of like pulling the Rockets' offense down, but he's also elevating it because they're now like top five in the league in pace, right? And that's, I guess, the biggest change from last year. So it's one of those weird things where I think on a game-by-game basis, they're kind of going back to the old Rockets.
So how is he pulling it down, though? Just by shooting him in the mid-range as far as like the points? Because he's shooting a good percent. Like, he's shooting the best.
But his effective field goal rate is still really low. And it's, like, one of the worst in the league.
Has to be because he's shooting, like, 23% from three.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what you would expect from Russ like that. He's just not a good three-point shooter.
But when you buy that into the Rockets' offense, it kind of not ruins everything that they're trying to do, but it throws a lot of things off. But I guess the offsetting thing is what I was saying is just the transition. Like, he's now keeping, like, the game – against the Pelicans tonight, you saw like Russ was able to come in 26 and 35 minutes, just put pressure on them at like the end of the third, and Spurs in the fourth when Harden was off the floor. So it gives them a good change of pace. So I guess that's why I thought they were just going to, right off the bat, and I guess this was a stupid assessment, just have everything figured out and be clearly the best team in the West. But right now it seems to me like they're going to be in that four range. I don't think they'll have it completely figured out until maybe 10 games after the All-Star break, and that's when they'll really be flowing. But at that point, the Clippers and Lakers will be the solidified 1-2 with Denver somewhere in that 3 spot. So, yeah, I got them at the 4 if I had to adjust my rankings.
Okay. I'd say the same. I said, what do we have them to start? You had them at 1?
Yeah, I had them as 1 in the West.
Yeah.
I think
they were going to rattle. I had them at the 4 seed. I had him at 4. I had him at 3 or 4, one or two.
And this is like us just being forced to give reacts. Like, and in 10 games, like they win 10 straight games and we come back two pods from now.
It's power rankings at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Weekly power rankings.
Yeah.
So, got a segment that we have done in the past.
Yeah, y'all heard this before, man.
I know we should bring it right back for y'all. It's facts or cap. Y'all know the rules. I say a statement, or Ansel says a statement, and we ask each other facts or cap. Like, facts, it's true. Like, facts, it's true. You kept it a bean or cap, like, you're lying. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen.
Tall tale, yeah.
Tall tale, not going to happen. Storytelling.
Okay.
Or campfire.
I'll start with the first one. Right. Facts or cap, the Suns will make the playoffs.
Facts.
Facts. Why facts. Is that?
They're going to be like a... They're going to be in that 7-8 range.
Really?
They'll hang. They'll hang around.
Okay.
They'll be hanging on by a thread at the end. But they'll have a good enough start. And I think they'll be solid throughout the year. Wishing, you know, all their players good health. And I think they make that leap this year with Monty Williams, his new, you know, defensive culture. And obviously that young team, like we were talking about earlier. I think they get in.
I agree. With the Warriors falling out of contention, obviously a team has to move up. I wasn't expecting it to be a Suns. I kind of thought the Mavs would kind of be bumped up to 7. The Spurs would slide right in. But the Suns will definitely compete with those two teams at the bottom of the division. So,
I think Mavs and Spurs, right?
Yeah.
I think those are going to be the bottom.
Okay.
Bottom fighters. All right, so next one. Brandon Ingram is now a better player than Ben Simmons. Facts or cap?
That is cap, but not as heavy as cap as I would have said maybe at the beginning of the year when I was fooled by the Ben Simmons shooting behind a green screen or in front of a green screen. I think it's cap because right now Ben Simmons, what he does is just a tad bit more important. I know Brandon, the offense is revolving around Brandon Ingram right now for the Pelicans, but Ben is still the point guard, makes a bulk of our decisions in transition. Not the best in the half court. We saw the game against the Suns where he only had 6 points, 2 for 8. Non-factor in the fourth, but there's games when he's on and he's controlling the offense and he's leading us to be up 20 on the Celtics. That's when you see the best of Ben Simmons, and his best is still better than Brandon Ingram's best. But the gap is just closing. Like, Brandon Ingram is having his best scoring year, as we've seen. Really comfortable now, putting up what his career high the other night with 40. So
I think it's good. I would say that, it's tough. I would say facts right now, you know, it's a fact right now that he's a better basketball player than him. I think it's obviously different, like you said, the situation. They're giving the offense to Brandon Ingram and saying, take us home.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said for if you put Ben Simmons in that situation, I don't think he could be that guy.
No.
And I think you can put Brandon Ingram on the Sixers now and then go with a traditional point guard as Howard Nato or Trey Burke or whatever point guard you get on the market.
And we'd be 6-3.
And you'd be fine. Yeah, you'd be fine, or you probably could be better. So, I don't know. Right now, I'd say facts. I mean, the guy's averaging 26, 7 boards, and 4 assists. And he's shooting 54 from the field and 47 from 3. Okay. I mean, 10 games, small sample size, 9-10 games. But that's a stretch that Ben Simmons... I couldn't even imagine Ben Simmons having right now.
Yeah.
You know, so that has to be accounted
and
for.
And we promised, and so this is one of the things Quiddy and I talked about, we're not going to talk about him shooting anymore. So it's just like that. That's just, it's not a conversation anymore. I think it's just over for him. He doesn't have the mental capacity to...
I'm not even saying that. I'm not even saying that, and I hope it's not that. I'm not going to discuss it until he does it. I'm not going to, like, say why he's not doing it or anything like that.
He just doesn't shoot. Ben Simmons doesn't shoot
basketball. He doesn't shoot.
So, moving on.
That's part of that. Right,
The next factor cap we have, the Portland Trail Blazers will miss the playoffs. Currently, they're 4-6, like we talked about.
Well, first this time, that's cap. Portland Trail Blazers, they'll get in.
Yeah.
Like we said, I think they'll figure it out. Elite scoring. I won't say two superstars. I wouldn't say CJ's a superstar just because he's not as consistent as Dame, I guess. And can't go as crazy as Dame as far as like putting up numbers. But like I said, two experienced guards, good coach, you know, young guys rising, Anthony Simons. I think Whiteside will start playing a little better as the season goes on. And they'll all, you know, figure out how they want to play in that system. And I think they'll get in.
Yeah, I agree. Veteran team. Seen it before. We made the Western Conference Finals last year. That's cap. They will make the playoffs. What we got next?
All right, facts or cap? Luka Doncic is now a top 10 player in the NBA. Facts or cap?
So when you put this together, and thanks for doing the outline again today, I saw this and I just instantly just started making a top 10. And so that game with Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, Harden, AD, Embiid, Dame, Russ, Booker, and then it has to be Luka, right? Like if you're looking for potential talent, a guy that's leading his team and going toe-to-toe with other teams in the West, like they have the best offensive team in the league right now.
Did you name Jokic?
I didn't name Jokic. And I it was for a reason. Because when you look at those top 10 guys in the NBA, it's just like...
Booker or Jokic? Lee. That's a tough one. And I know you like both of them, actually.
Bringing in our hoops consultant, Southside, for the question.
That's a tough one.
You gotta split that.
Booker or Jokic?
Jokic is... I ain't gonna say he's... I mean, he's not really showing me anything I haven't seen from him, necessarily. He's just consistently great, which is... There's something to be said for that, like... You know what I'm saying? I don't think his top level is Embiid's top level. That's why I always, you know, knock him.
There's a pantheon level of, like, when you make that top 10 guy in the league. Like, Booker is a guy who I see when he's playing at his peak, he is, like, just as unstoppable.
He is Ben Simmons. You can guard me. I don't need a screen, and I'm scoring from mid-range. Yeah. All I need to do is a couple of dribbles, dead dribble, stop.
And in the NBA, that is more dangerous. Like, but Lee, what do you think?
I might have to go with Jokic off the fact that
he's still out.
Yeah, I'm selling out right
but
now.
I am buying.
Okay, yeah, he playing for the big man. Why is that? Why?
Because I think he's more important to a better team. So that's it's true. Like he's like the staple to the Nuggets, and the staples are a contender, I think. So
okay,
I'm gonna have to go with him.
Respectable, Quitty. What do you think? So I think it's facts. I think he is the top 10 talent in the league right now. What do you think? I mean, I thought of this as active players as well. So obviously KD's out. PG's currently not playing.
Yeah, I think Luka's top 10 right now.
Okay.
And it's crazy because we switched over to Devin Booker. That's why I got kind of confused. But, yeah, I think he's top 10. I think his numbers just speak for himself. Like, he's in, like, a 27 range, getting, like, 10 boards, 9 assists, shooting, like, 48 from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that says enough. He's 20. What is he, 20?
20 years old.
He's 20. Come on.
And this is, like, his seventh year of professional basketball, which is crazy.
Which, like, I mean, he's been doing this. I mean, he shoots this between the legs to the left step back or whatever. He's just going to the left. Any dribble, misdirection dribble, and then just come back and step to his left and gets this crazy rhythm bounce where he's super accurate, which is crazy. Yeah. But that's a crazy shot he has. And then when you start biting for that, he got this little hezzy where you put it through his legs and then go
when
past
he gets
you,
by you, like he's...
Scoot his body by
you.
Right.
He uses his body real well, can slow you down. Like, the floater is crazy.
He's real. He can pass the ball. That, I give you that. And I was always give you that forever because, obviously, I think he went a crazy long career. You know, 12 to 15 years of just dominance, you know. I give you that. You were on top of Luka just being a great player. I knew he was going to be good, but, like, you ain't think he was going to be good.
But
this good, like, this is crazy.
I think people underestimate the overseas professional. Like, when you're young and you could dominate in professional basketball, like what LaMelo's doing right now is not the same level because he's not winning MVPs with Real Madrid. Yeah. But, like, that says something. That's better than college.
That's true, too. Like, and I think what LaMelo's doing is crazy. And, Luka Duffy was going crazier because, like,
they were winning. They were winning titles over there. Okay.
And better league. And he played in the second best league in the world, right?
Yeah, like it's La Liga. It's the Spain La Liga. So it's like they're playing like the Barcelona teams. All right, so let me ask you a question. Off of that, would you take Booker or Luka right now if you had to pick?
That's what we should compare. I mean, like, that one's tough. I think Booker is... I just think Booker's a dude where he can literally get 60 any night. Yeah. You know what I mean? If he shoots enough, he can get six just because he can score in so many different ways. I don't think Luka's that guy yet. I don't think he has that ability to score the ball yet. I think Luka's super crafty. Kind of like a Paul... Not Paul Pierce's complete game, but just as far as how he can get to wherever spot he wants at his own pace. And it doesn't seem like he's moving, you know, faster than anybody. I think Luka has that, but I think Devin Booker has more of a, you know, crazier handle. You know, can get into a three, can get into a mid-range, and then at the rim.
So do you value the range of being able to go from 30 to 45 a lot more
especially when you're consistent 30? Yeah, especially when you're that lead perimeter player. You know what I'm saying? If you can really go off like that, you have that Kobe 50 in you, you know, that Kobe, Jordan, like, all right, I need to go crazy in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, I think Devin Booker's going to have his chance to show what he can do in the playoffs. And I love that clip this summer when he was going crazy in the gym. They asked him, he's like, yo, bro, I'm just hooping, man. I ain't been in the playoffs yet. And yeah. Now I look at him, like, I'm not saying it's early, obviously, but, like, they it's, look like they're ready.
Need to happen for the Suns still, right. Like, because the West, as we said, like, if he's going to do anything in the West, like, DeAndre Ayton's going to have to come back. They need another wing, but
I believe in them. I think they're going to be a good team this year. Like, yeah. I think I'm looking at, like, 48, 49, 50 wins.
Yeah. Best case scenario, they make the one seed, steal a game from the Lakers or Clippers, and then try to see what happens next year after they get like a mid round draft pick. Let's go to the next one, though.
This is the last one. Is it me or you? Doesn't matter.
I'll read it out. So, Kemba Walker will be a better fit in Boston than Kyrie Irving. Facts or cap?
I think it's facts. Yeah. I think we've seen it already. I think it's just one of those things. I kind of put this on here on purpose, but I think it's one of those things where it's not necessarily saying he's a better player than Kyrie, because if you look at Kemba's numbers right now, they're not better than what Kyrie's were last year, and Kemba's playing very well.
Yeah.
And that just speaks to what Kyrie can do when you give him, when his usage rate is high enough, and, like, you know what I'm saying, how crafty he is and all that. I think he's Kemba, but just a little bit taller. both super crafty, these little guards can get wherever they want. But anyway, like I said, if I think Kyrie's an A plus player, I think Kemba's an A minus. Like, it's like just like that. You know what I mean? And I think it's more of a teammate thing. I think
he's not as dominant. Certainly matters.
You know what I mean? Kemba and what he does. Like, Kemba does what he does. He helps the team. He scores the ball. But Kyrie was more of a, all right, I'm gonna get what I gotta get. Y'all can do what y'all need to do.
There would never be a night where Tatum shoots 18 shots and Marcus Smart shoots 7 threes with Kyrie on the team. Right. It just wouldn't happen.
It just doesn't happen just because, I mean, it may happen if they have it going, but that wasn't a natural trend and flow of the team. The flow of the team was for Kyrie to get his and the other guys to, you know,
pick your buckets off of that.
Yeah, off of that just because, okay, Kyrie was that guy that's been championship and hit the crazy shot over Steph, and he's the dude that,
and they kind of wanted to force him into that, like, that spotlight, room. You know what I mean? Like, to be there at the next, like, Pierce or Russell Williams for the Boston, whatever.
And now you flip that back, and you got a guy that's pretty much, I mean, if Kyrie's here, Kemba's here, you got a guy like that that's starving. I mean, he's been in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, how long has Kemba been in the league? Eight, nine years. Been in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And just cooking. Leading scorer there all the time. And they don't even go to the playoffs. They're not building around them. Nobody wants to. You don't get free agents in Charlotte. So he's one of those guys that had unfortunate careers. But he goes out to Boston now when his contract time is up. And that's a great situation for him. So I know he's out there trying to do his best to make those guys, you know, feel at home with him.
And the Celtics kind of got lucky because they realized they made the mistake. Well, not even the mistake because IT got hurt, but that was kind of the perfect model for, like, a Brad Stevens team, like, where you have the little guard that's not that demanding, but he's able to get you 28. But then when they ran into Kyrie, they kind of had to pull the trigger. But now getting Kemba back, it's just damn near the same thing, but you kind of have a guy that's a little bit more prolific on the offensive
end. Kemba better.
Yeah, he's definitely better than IT. But, yeah, I wrote cap just off the fact to kind of just go against, because I knew we would both have the same answer, but I think that where Kyrie is could be a little bit more valuable, and it could be argued that he's more valuable, is that just in those late season crunch time moments, if your team is in that position to where you're like a one or two seed, I'm more scared of Kyrie than I am of Kemba.
But what makes, I like that you said that, but what makes that?
And it's a team aspect, so you can't singular.
So where I can bounce back, and where is somebody that watched Kemba when he was in Charlotte all those years and
he can definitely do it.
No, he is that guy, though. That's what makes it so interesting, because it's like, okay, like, Kyrie brought so much to the table as far as that late game. And all, I guess what
you're not that guy until you do it when it's important.
But I'm saying Kemba has all of that. Like,
you're not that guy until you do it when it's important. Trust me, he's done it. I've seen him doing it in crunch. I don't know what you mean. Like, he's done it in crunch time.
He's been
one
of the leading clutch scorers.
All meaningless games where you're catching teams and they're like, oh, we're playing Charlotte. And then, like, shit, Kemba's got 45 and it's a close game.
Yes, but.
And then he may steal one with the game winner.
That's all about. Like, that's all about.
Not discrediting it, but I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel you. All right, so you said that's cap, or you just, like you said, playing
no, yeah, just devil's advocate. I think it's facts. He's better for the Celtics, but hopefully. All
right, we'll we're going to end off with the process.
Yeah.
6-3 Philadelphia 76ers right now.
Real shitty road trip, man.
Yeah, let's get right into it. Yeah, well, what? So without Furkan Korkmaz, without a 21-point comeback and Furkan Korkmaz in a game winner, we would have went 0-4 on the road trip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we snuck that game out. So lost to the Suns, who we've talked about. A loss to the Utah Jazz. We got dominated, right?
It was 106-104, actually. So, yeah. But it was a game where we relied on Embiid, I think, a lot more than we should have, just kind of, you know.
Man, down the stretch, we don't really have that perimeter closer, so you got to try to dump it down to the big man and bully him. And it was working. You know, you're posting Tobias, you're posting Horford, you're posting Embiid. But this is where I think we have to play Trey Burke a little bit more moving forward.
Yeah.
Not saying he's any, you know what I mean.
Not he's not the fixed all greatest, the problems.
But he's an isolation creator.
Yeah,
he can make things happen by himself without having to involve Joel Embiid. You know what I'm saying? Or if Embiid just simply comes out, sets a screen, Trey Burke can go make a play in that mid range area. So I think he has to get more playing time. I think the road trip showed us that, especially with Ben Simmons being out for the next few games. I know he's getting reevaluated tomorrow, but I doubt he plays.
Yeah.
So, but even when Ben was back, I was texting you. I don't know if I was texting you, but I was saying both of them could play when Ben gets back. Like, we should probably be starting to move away from this experiment of Ben being a point guard. Like, he can still have the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And be a point forward, be a Giannis type.
He's just a transition.
He doesn't have to be giving the ball all the whole game, especially when you have a guy like Trey Burke who can score the ball for you. I mean, he played yesterday. I think he played 12 minutes and scored 14 minutes and scored 12 points.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to fill it up and score for you. Our own Nate has been showing that he can play.
And this isn't one of those things. I know people like to say, like, oh, when things are going well, we love Ben, and when they aren't, we don't. But it's just, it is what it is at this point. And Brett made the comment the other day, like you said, like, the process and experimenting is over. Like, we have to figure out ways to win games consistently now. And if Ben isn't, like the Suns game is just so frustrating to watch, because then when he doesn't have it going, he kind of, it just goes right into a shell.
You can see him check out.
Yeah.
So he looks so like, he literally looks like a diva. And it's like he's doing it like, okay, I'm whatever. Like,
I'm going to save my numbers.
They ain't giving me the ball. But no, he's really like, they ain't giving me the ball type. And like, I'm not getting the ball in a perfect spot to score. So I'm not playing. Like, he's that type dude. That's what he looks like. And that's why it's so frustrating.
And it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I'm at the point, not to where, I'm not going to say I want to trade Ben Simmons because that sounds stupid, but, like, if
offers, I'll talk to
hypothetically him. Speaking, let's explore the conversation, and this, again, this isn't me saying I want to trade Ben.
And remember, but, we talked about this, what, the end of last year.
Yeah.
And you brought it up, and I think you said you actually would, and you said it for Booker.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't think we should even talk about that, because that's not even a conversation. If the Suns,
listen, this isn't even hypothetical anymore. If the Suns called about Booker... Yeah, right now, if we didn't say yes, I think I would cease to be a Sixers fan. Devin Booker on the Sixers right now, that's a guaranteed chip. That is a guaranteed chip.
Yeah, I mean, they would absolutely turn super elite. You just turn it from one of the best defensive teams, and you're just one of the best offensive teams too. But I don't even want to play with.
Can't entertain
like,
that
emotion because, like that. Yeah. So. Offers though. Let's throw something more a little bit less. So how about
D'Angelo Russell? That's one I thought of.
How about Drew Holiday? You said D'Angelo Russell, that's a good one. What about Drew Holiday?
Drew Holiday? Shit. No, I wouldn't do Drew for Ben. It couldn't be straightforward. It would have to be more of a like Drew D.I. And we give like Ben and
they're not giving us all of that though for Ben. So I wanted more realistic. So it'd be like I was thinking like Drew Holiday and maybe a young guy off the bench, like maybe Frank Jackson or that Walker Alexander kid they got. Or even if it was like Etuan Moore and for
you,
Ben.
You would say yes to that?
I was asking you.
No.
If you put Drew Holiday in it,
still like it would have I need Drew a full season. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think Drew Holiday is elite enough creating with the ball. I think he's very good, but as far as like if you want to mix with Joel Embiid, you have to be like Jimmy Butler level, obviously, or better. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Jimmy Butler is obviously really good.
What about Simmons for Tatum?
No, definitely not. I think Tatum's really good, but no, he's not about to be that guy.
Okay.
I don't see it. And I don't know if that could be a Boston thing, but I don't really see it.
Okay.
He went 1 for 20 today.
Simmons for did we say Russell already? D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell. We touched it, but we didn't. I was talking. That would be tough. I was thinking about that one today. I think you just get a crazy drop off on defense. Yeah. That's the only thing that scares me. Yeah. And that D'Lo is not that. He's really good, but he's not the most consistent, you know, good player.
Yeah.
As far as All Star, so I mean that's not one I'll be crazy excited about, but I mean, he can score, so it'd be a good fit.
Last one, Wiggins and maybe Culver.
Culver. No.
For those two?
Andrew Wiggins is good though. I can't even lie. Like he's been playing very well this year. Like actually, he's actually been playing great.
Sorry, just reacting to John Morant slamming on yeah. Alright, but
John Morant just cursed with somebody. Yeah, alright. But y'all know the vibes, man. We look, we thinking trade offers and we watching highlights in here. John Morant just caught a crazy body. But that's simple Sixers talk. Anything you want to say about
moving forward for him? Yeah, so
team, like the rotation.
No, I think we will grow and begin to learn more.
Yeah. Talk about Furkan. I didn't say anything about Furkan.
Yeah. So. What, had 17 last night against Charlotte. So far, averaging like 10 points a game, 45% from three, which is huge, like 2 threes a game. Definitely better than I thought. I remember the first
time
we were kind of upset that he was getting major minutes, especially over our guys like Shake.
Well, think about this. He had a chance to be signed by every team in the league, and nobody signed him. He's about to go back to that Turkish league.
Yeah.
And the Sixers brought him back. So. I mean, that's a testament to what, you know, kind of reputation he's built in the league. So when he came back, I'm like, well, I don't want this dude no more. And look how well he's been playing.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
it's going to be appropriate to talk
I think I just don't want to get caught in that thing where we had with our old Sixers team where we keep a guy around just because he's been with us for a while and he can give us 13. Obviously, if he can give us 17 and 11 consistently, then that's completely different because Scott and Ennis don't look. Like scoring options off the bench.
That is like those solid vets that are reliable. You know what I mean? They'll knock down a corner three. Ennis will score, you know, in transition, getting a steal and whatnot. It's crazy how many steals Thybulle gets, but he can't finish in transition, so they took him off the rotation altogether.
I mean, I'm kind of worried about that, though. Like, I feel like you have to kind of instill some more confidence in a guy like that, especially if he's playing that well. Like, not all-star level, like, at the defensive end. Well, yeah, actually all-star level, but
I think,
you got to give him a minute.
Yeah, but I think those are muscle. I think that's a must-win game. I think Brett looked at the last game as a must-win game, too, before that game in Denver, just because we were coming off two losses. And then the game last night looked at as a must-win. He like, I can't play the rookie right now.
Yeah.
He's struggling. You know what I'm saying? Let me put these two guards in. He said it was Ben Simmons related because you needed to play.
Yeah.
Obviously, point guards with Ben being
same
out.
Thing with Neto. Do you like Neto? Or you,
Neto? Yeah, he's good. I like him. Solid. TJ McConnell, but he can shoot a three.
I got you.
Pretty much same type of game. Crafty. Play defense full court. But he can shoot a three. And then Trey Burke's that crafty little 6 foot guard, models his game at the AI and all that, but he had a pretty good game last night. I like how they're looking moving forward, but pretty much I got him on Sixers right now.
Yeah, I think
finding the flow, finding the rhythm.
Next showing is against the Cavs on the 12th here tomorrow night, so we'll see how we do.
Al Horford taking the night off.
Yeah, well deserved too. Shout out to Al, man. Worth every fucking penny. Definitely playing well for us. But you got anything to close for the people?
Same thing I always say, TNT Hoop Channel, the vibes. Tell a friend. Subscribe, podcast.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it a beam with y'all too. We ain't finished the contest off because only like 5 people are in it. We ain't really pushed it that much. We're gonna get it going again this week. TNT Hoops contest. We'll set like a limit for entrance or something so y'all know for the people that entered. Don't feel crabbed about their time and effort. Once again, thank y'all for listening. TNT Hoops episode 27. Love.